The cell block was underground, like it always is in a regional HQ. Below a squat brick building with an iron door, standing alone on the other side of the rose bed. Layton led them over there through the rain, their collars turned up against the damp and their chins ducked down to their chests. Layton used an old-fashioned bell pull outside the iron door, and it opened after a second to reveal a bright hallway with a huge master sergeant standing in it. The sergeant stepped aside, and Layton led them in. Inside, the walls were made of brick faced with white porcelain glaze. The floors and the ceilings were smooth, troweled concrete, painted shiny green. Lights were fluorescent tubes behind thick metal grills. Doors were iron, with square, barred openings at the top. There was a cubbyhole office on the right with a wooden rack of keys on 4-inch metal hoops. There was a big desk, piled high with video recorders, taping milky gray flickering images from 12 small monitor screens. The screen showed 12 cells, 11 of them empty, and one of them with a humped shape under a blanket on the bed.
"Quiet night at the Hilton," Reacher said.
Layton nodded.
"Gets worse Saturday nights, but right now Maguire's our only guest."
"The video recording is a problem," Reacher said.
"Always breaking down, though," Layton said.
He bent to examine the pictures on the monitors, braced his hands on the desk, bent closer, rolled his right hand until his knuckle touched a switch. The recorders stopped humming, and the REC legends disappeared from the corners of the screen.
"See?" he said. "Very unreliable system."
"It'll take a couple of hours to fix," the sergeant said.
"At least." The sergeant was a giant, shiny skin the color of coffee. His uniform jacket was the size of a field tent. Reacher and Harper would have fitted into it together, maybe Layton, too. The guy was the exact ideal issue MP non-com.
"Maguire's got a visitor, Sergeant," Layton said, an off-the-record voice. "Doesn't need to go in the log."
Reacher took off his coat and his jacket, folded them and left them on the sergeant's chair. The sergeant took a hoop of keys off the wooden board and moved to the inside door, unlocked it and swung it back. Reacher stepped through, and the sergeant closed the door and locked it again behind him, pointed to the head of a staircase.
"After you," he said.
The staircase was built of bricks, rounded at the nose of each stair. The walls either side were the same white glaze. There was a metal handrail bolted through to the wall every 12 inches. Another locked door at the bottom, then a corridor, then another locked door, then a lobby with 3 locked doors to 3 blocks of cells. The sergeant unlocked the middle door, flipped a switch, and fluorescent lights stuttered and flooded a bright white area 40 feet by 20. There was an access zone the length of the block and about a third of its depth. The rest of the space was divided into 4 cells delineated by heavy iron bars. The bars were thickly covered in shiny white enamel paint. The cells were about 10 feet wide, maybe 12 deep. Each cell had a video camera opposite, mounted high on the wall. 3 of the cells were empty, with their gates folded back. The 4th was locked closed. It held Maguire. He was struggling awake, sitting up, surprised by the light.
"Visitor for you," the sergeant called.
There were 2 tall wooden stools in the corner of the access zone nearest the exit door. The sergeant carried the nearer one over and placed it in front of Maguire's cell, walked back and sat on the other. Reacher ignored the stool and stood with his hands behind his back, gazing silently through the bars. Maguire was pushing his blanket aside and swinging his feet to the floor. He was wearing an olive undershirt and olive shorts. He was a big guy, more than 6 feet tall, more than 200 pounds, more than 35 years old. Heavily muscled, a thick neck, big arms, big legs, thinning hair cropped close, small eyes, a couple of tattoos. Reacher stood absolutely still, watching him, saying nothing.
"Helm are you?"
Maguire said. His voice matched his bulk. It was deep, and the words were half swallowed by a heavy chest. Reacher made no reply.
It was a technique he had perfected half a lifetime ago. Just stand absolutely still. Don't blink. Say nothing. Wait for them to run through the possibilities. Not a buddy. Not a lawyer. Who then? Wait for them to start worrying.
Hell are you?
McGuire said again. Reacher walked away. He stepped over to where the master sergeant was sitting and bent to whisper in his ear. The giant's eyebrows came up. You sure? Reacher whispered again. The guy nodded and stood up and handed Reacher the hoop of keys, went out through the door and closed it behind him. Reacher hung the keys on the knob and walked back to McGuire's cell. McGuire was staring through the bars at him.
What do you want? He said.
I want you to look at me, Reacher replied.
What?
What do you see?
Nothing,
McGuire said.
You blind? No, I ain't blind.
Then you're a liar, Reacher said. You don't see nothing.
I see some guy, McGuire said.
You see some guy bigger than you, who had all kinds of special training, while you spent your time shuffling paper in some piece-of-shit quartermaster's stores.
So?
So nothing. Just something to bear in mind for later, is all.
What's later?
You'll find out, Reacher said.
What do you want?
I want proof.
Of what?
Of exactly how dumb a piece of shit like you really is. McGuire paused, his eyes narrowed, pushed into deep furrows by his brow.
Easy for you to talk like that, he said. Standing 6 feet away from these bars.
Reacher took an exaggerated pace forward. Now I'm 2 feet from the bars, he said, and you're still a dumb piece of shit. McGuire took a step forward, too. He was a foot inside the cell, holding a bar in each fist, a level gaze in his eyes. Reacher stepped forward again. Now I'm a foot from the bars, same as you, he said, and you're still a dumb piece of shit. McGuire's right hand came off the bar and closed into a fist, and his whole arm rammed straight out like a piston. It was headed for Reacher's throat. Reacher caught the wrist and swayed and whipped the fist past his head and rocked his weight back and hauled McGuire tight up against the inside of the bars, twisted the wrist palm out and walked left and bent the arm back against the elbow joint. See how dumb you are? He said. I keep on walking, I break your arm. McGuire was gasping against the pressure. Reacher smiled briefly and dropped the wrist. McGuire stared at him and hauled his arm back inside, rolling the shoulder, testing the damage.
What do you want?
He said again. Want me to open the cell gate?
What?
Keys are right over there. You want the gate open? Even things up a little? McGuire's eyes narrowed a little more. He nodded.
Yeah, open the damn gate.
Reacher stepped away and lifted the hoop of keys off the knob of the exit door, shuffled through them and found the right one. He'd handled plenty of cell keys. He could pick one out blindfolded. He stepped back and unlocked the gate, swung it open. McGuire stood still. Reacher walked away and put the hoop of keys back on the doorknob, stood facing the door, his back to the cell.
Sit down, he called. I left the stool there for you.
He sensed McGuire coming out of the cell. He heard his bare feet on the concrete floor, heard them stop.
What do you want?
McGuire said again. Reacher kept his back turned, strained to sense McGuire's approach. It wasn't happening.
It's complicated, he said. You're going to have to juggle a number of factors. What factors?
McGuire asked blankly.
First factor is, I'm unofficial, okay?
Reacher said.
What does that mean?
You tell me.
I don't know,
McGuire said. Reacher turned around. It means I'm not an army cop, I'm not a civilian cop.
In fact, I'm not anything at all.
So?
So there's no comeback on me, no disciplinary procedures, no pension to lose, no nothing.
So?
So if I leave you walking on crutches and drinking through a straw the rest of your life, there's nothing anybody can do to me. And we got no witnesses in here.
What do you want?
Second factor is, whatever the big guy says he'll do to you, I can do worse.
What big guy?
Reacher smiled. McGuire's hands bunched into fists, heavy biceps, big shoulders.
Now it gets sophisticated, Reacher said. You need to concentrate real hard on this part. Third factor is, if you give me the guy's name, he goes away somewhere else, forever. You give me his name, he can't get to you. Not ever. You understand?
What name? What guy?
The guy you were paying off with half of your take.
No such guy.
Reacher shook his head.
We're past that stage now, okay? We know there's such a guy, so don't make me smack you around before we even get to the important part.
McGuire tensed up, breathed hard, then he quieted down, his body slackened slightly and his eyes narrowed again.
So concentrate, Reacher said. You think that to rat him out puts you in the shit, but you're wrong. What you need to understand is, you rat him out, and actually it makes you safe the whole rest of your life, because people are looking at him for a bunch of things a whole lot worse than ripping off the army.
What's he done?
McGuire asked. Reacher smiled. He wished the video cameras had sound. The guy exists. Layton would be dancing around the office.
The FBI thinks he killed 4 women. You give me his name, they'll put him away forever. Nobody's even going to ask him about anything else.
McGuire was silent, thinking about it. It wasn't the speediest process Reacher had ever seen.
2 more factors, he said. You tell me right now, I'll put in a good word for you. They'll listen to me because I used to be one of them. Cops stick together, right? I can get you easy time.
McGuire said nothing.
Last factor, Reacher said gently. You need to understand, sooner or later, you'll tell me anyway. It's just a question of timing. Your choice. You can tell me right now, or you can tell me in a half hour, right after I've broken your arms and legs, and I'm about to snap your spine.
He's a bad guy,
McGuire said.
Reacher nodded. I'm sure he's real bad. But you need to prioritize. Whatever he says he's going to do, that's theoretical, way off in the future, and like I told you, it isn't going to happen anyway. But what I'm going to do, it's going to happen right now, right here.
You ain't gonna do nothing,
McGuire said. Reacher turned and picked up the wooden stool, flipped it upside down and held it chest high with his hands around 2 of the legs, took a firm backhand grip and bunched his shoulders and pulled steadily. Then he breathed hard and snapped his elbows back, and the legs tore away from the rungs. The rungs clattered to the floor. He reversed the stool and held the seat in his left hand and splintered a leg free with his right, dropped the wreckage and retained the leg. It was about 1 yard long. The size and weight of a ball bat.
Now you do the same, he said.
McGuire tried hard. He turned over his own stool and grasped the legs. His muscles bunched and the tattoos swelled, but he got nowhere with it. He just stood there, holding the stool upside down.
Too bad, Reacher said. I tried to make it fair.
He was Special Forces, McGuire said. He was in Desert Storm. He's real tough.
Doesn't matter, Reacher said. He resists, the FBI will shoot him down. End of problem.
McGuire said nothing.
He won't know it came from you, Reacher said. They'll make it look like he left some evidence behind.
Maguire said nothing. Reacher swung the leg of the stool.
"Left or right?"
he asked.
"What?"
Maguire said. "Which arm you want me to break first?"
"LaSalle Kruger,"
Maguire said.
"Supply Battalion CO. He's a colonel."
Stealing the phone was candy from a baby, but the reconnaissance is a bitch. Timing it right was the first priority. You needed to wait for full dark, and you wanted to wait for the daytime cop's final hour. Because the cop is dumber than the bureau guy, and because somebody's last hour is always better than somebody else's first hour. Attention will have waned. Boredom will have set in. His eyes will have glazed, and he'll be thinking ahead to a beer with his buddies, or a night in front of the television with his wife, or however the hell he spends his downtime. So your window extends to about 40 minutes, say 7 to 7:40. You plan it in two halves. First the house, then the surrounding area. You drive back from the airport, and you approach on the through road. You drive straight through the junction 3 streets from her house. You stop at a hiker's car park 200 yards further north. There's a wide gravel trail leading east up the slope of Mount Hood. You get out of your car, and you turn your back on the trail, and you work your way west and north through lightly wooded terrain. You're about level with your first position, but on the other side of her house, behind it, not in front of it.